So, anytime that I speak, I usually have a story or some sort of anecdotal something to go along with what we're going on. So, I'm not going to disappoint this time, because again, I have something to talk about. For those of you who know me and have heard me speak before, you probably know that I grew up right here in Sterling. I've lived in the same house for pretty much my whole life. The 4 years that I went away to college, I didn't live there, and then the 1 year that I lived on my own with a couple of friends. But went right back home afterwards, because home is definitely where the heart is for me. So, but this story is not about me being at home. This story is actually very much about me getting lost. So, how many of us, just like the kids, have ever been lost before? I figured, right? And there's all sorts of different ways and different kinds of getting lost, right? There's the physical getting lost that I talked about with the kids, where you don't know your way. Then I talked about how you can get lost, like, on your homework or on a math problem, or even when you're reading. I don't know if any of you guys are like me, but if there's any sort of distractions are going on around me and I'm reading, I don't comprehend anything that I'm reading. You catch yourself going like, I need to go back and reread that paragraph. I have no idea what I just read. I'm sure others have been there as well, but it just doesn't work for me, especially if music's playing. I can't read and have music going on. Some people can, not me. There's other kinds of getting lost. There's getting lost in translation. If anybody has ever delved into poetry or anything like that, you might know that poetry, like music, has its own pulse, beat, and rhythm. Now, when you have a poem that's in German, for instance, or some kind of foreign language, it will have that pulse, that rhythm. But when you translate it to English, it doesn't always carry the same way, whether it's the text that doesn't carry through or that pulse or that rhythm. So getting lost in translation, many biblical scholars believe that a lot of the biblical text has been lost in translation. You know, you hear people arguing all the time, oh, this word in Hebrew means this, or right? All sorts of things get lost in translation all the time. So all of us, in some way, shape, or form, have been lost before. So, a little story about me getting lost. Grew up right here in town, and I was about fifth grade, pretty close to the age that Jesus was in our scripture reading this morning. So, I had a friend. In case you don't know, I grew up on 3rd Avenue, about 5 blocks away from the high school, just to give you a little context if you're from around here. I lived about 5 blocks away from Sterling High School. And I had a friend who actually lived about 4 blocks south of here, 16th Avenue and, like, 15th Street. So, right down that way a little bit, pretty close to my house. Now, my mom had taken me over to my friend's house a whole bunch of times in the car. And I knew my way around town pretty well. I grew up in the time where you could tell your mom, hey, I'm going to go ride my bike, and you could ride all around town and not really worry about it. And, you know, can't really do that as much nowadays. I know it's a little bit different than when I was a kid. But we used to ride all around town. So I knew my way around town pretty well on my bike. So I said, you know, Mom, can you take me over to Matt's house? And she was a little busy, so I said, I can ride my bike. You know, I asked her, and she said, yeah, sure. So I left, and I'm riding down 14th Street, heading towards 16th Avenue, and at that time I didn't know exactly that it was 16th Avenue, though. So I'm riding down the street, and all of a sudden 14th Avenue comes along, and I take a turn. And as I'm riding my bike, you know, I knew I was close, but as I'm riding my bike, I'm looking around, and things are starting to look a little less familiar. Those houses that you see, those kind of landmark things, I didn't really see the normal things that I saw on my ride there with my mom. So I did what any sensible fifth grader would do, and I just kept riding until I found something familiar. So I'm riding along, and the first familiar thing that I found is somehow I made it all the way out to Freeport Road and Lynn Boulevard. So I was quite a little ways away from where I was supposed to be. Now, I'm on my bike, but it wasn't one of the nice mountain bikes. You know, it didn't have the different gears. It had the one gear, had the pegs. Got to have the pegs. But it had one gear on it. And so by this time, I had been riding around for a good 45 minutes or so on my bike. I was getting pretty tired. So I get to Lynn Boulevard and Freeport Road. But the only way that I knew how to get home from there was to ride Lynn Boulevard all the way to Locust and then take Locust to 14th Street and then 14th Street to 3rd Avenue. By the time I got home, I was exhausted. And when I got to Lynn Boulevard, I kind of, you know, teared up a little bit. I was crying a little bit. I was only in fifth grade. I got a little lost, but by the time Lynn Boulevard hit, I was so tired, frustrated, all sorts of different emotions going on while I was lost. Now, I'm sure many of you can relate to that. There's all sorts of different feelings that you can feel when you're lost. Like I said, you can feel frustrated, you can feel scared, you can feel worried, all sorts of different things that you can feel. Now, let's tie that into our story here, talking about Jesus and Mary and Joseph. So, we're going to just pick this apart a little bit, and we're gonna kind of talk about a few things here, okay? Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Starts off like a pretty typical Bible story. Passover, Jerusalem, Jesus. It's got all the biggies, okay? And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. Typical. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. As a teacher, when I read through this, I'm thinking, don't sign up Mary and Joseph to be chaperones on your field trip. Big red flag there, right? Now, in Mary and Joseph's defense, I'm certain that Jesus was not that hard of a child to raise. Those of you who have more than one kids, you might tell me, this one child was a lot easier to raise than this child. In those cases, that would be me and my sister. My older sister were a little bit easier to raise. My brother, maybe not so much. And we all know about Lexi, so. Just kidding. But I'm sure you can relate that some kids are a little harder to raise than others. Now, I have a feeling that Jesus was not a very hard child to raise. But going a whole day's journey without seeing your kid, I'm sure you guys have been in that situation before if you have kids where you're in a big group and you're like, so-and-so's probably with the kids. And you look around after a while and you still don't see him. You start to worry a little bit, right? Like, all right, where's my kid? Like, I know he was with the group. Okay, they go a whole day's journey. Then they start looking around and they're like, all right, we haven't seen Jesus for a while. Where's he at? So we're looking around and they can't find him. So what do? They do the only sensible thing that you could do, and they backtrack. So they journey one day away. That's the first day. They journey one day back when they realize that he's lost. And then after that, they look for 3 days. Jesus is missing for 5 days. Now, in today's society, 24 hours is when you file a missing persons report, right? But 5 days, right? As a parent, those of you who are parents, even thinking about your kids being missing for 5 days probably is giving you a lot of anxiety and things. It's giving me anxiety, and I don't even have kids. I'm just thinking about maybe my students. You know, I've had that feeling of, you know, you thought you misplaced a student, or you look around and you see that one kid who you know always gets into everything. You can't see him. Oh yeah, I've been there too. I don't have any kids, but I've been there. Now, so 5 days Jesus is missing. After 3 days of searching, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. 2020 hindsight, we can look and we'd be like, all right, Jesus is missing. There's probably 2 places he's going to be. The temple's number one. So we, of course, would be like, why didn't Mary and Joseph go look at the temple, right? Now, it kind of brings up some weird points here because we know that in the story, the Christmas story, an angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. But it seems like in the story, they kind of forget for a little bit that he is the Son of God. And we're gonna cover that here in just a second. Like I said, 2020 hindsight, we would imagine go to the temple right away. That's where Jesus is going to be. But Mary and Joseph weren't quite sure. So they looked for 5 total days for Jesus. And when they finally found him, listen to what Mary says. It's a really interesting concept to think because she kind of chastises him in a way. She says, why did you do this to us? Let me give you the exact text. Child, why have you treated us like this? Treated us like this, something that Jesus did to them, right? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. How many of you have ever been there? Lexi and I make the joke all the time. My mom gets done with work at 4:30, and at 4:38, she walks in the door every single day. 4:38. We know what time mom's walking in. So when 4:39, 4:40 comes around, we start to tap the foot, look at the watch. Where's mom? And if she doesn't walk in at 4:38, we say the same thing every time. Where have you been? We have had half the town out looking for you. I'm sure none of you have ever said that to your kids before, right? So, that's essentially what Mary and Joseph are saying. Like, dude, where you been? You've been gone for 5 days. Now, Jesus' answer is really interesting, too, because if you think about it in a way, the answer that Jesus gives is almost a little snarky, and you don't really expect that from Jesus. What he says exactly, let me give you the exact text here. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? That's almost like, that would have been like me as a kid saying, like, why didn't you go check Matt's house? Why didn't you look there? You've been looking for me for 5 days and you didn't check the temple once? That's almost kind of what it sounds like Jesus is saying. Right? So you get to see a little bit of the childlike side of Jesus. We talk a lot about the baby Jesus, and we talk a lot about adult Jesus and his ministry, and of course, you know, the precious gift that he gave us through his death and for the redemption of our sins. We talk about that all the time, but there's not very much that talks about Jesus when he is in between those stages, and there's not a lot in the Bible that talks about Jesus being a kid. And you don't get to really see that this much, and that's why I really like this story so much, is because you get to see Jesus being a kid. But at the same time, while he's being a kid, you get to see him develop through the story a little bit. For instance, when they say, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. At 12 years old, Jesus already has a deep and meaningful understanding of the scriptures and what it is, what it means to be a practicing Christian at that time. And they weren't Christians at that time, of course, but he knew the scriptures very well already, and people were amazed at the questions that he was answering. So even as a boy, he's delving into the scriptures and learning. And like I said, you don't get to really see very much of that. You get to see him be a baby, and you get to see him be an adult, but you don't get to see that learning process. And then at the very end here, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. And that's my favorite part of this story, because like I said, you get to see him growing and developing. This story is the one that bridges the gap between the baby Jesus and the adult Jesus. And that's why it's such a great story, because there's not very much of that in the Bible. And so with that, we... Sorry, I just lost my train of thought here. I forgot what I was just going to say. Sorry about that. But like I said, you get to really see Jesus growing and developing in here. And actually, I just remember what I was going to say, which is a really good, you're going to crack up because it's a really good point. The whole point of this is that when you get lost, you need to have some, you got to find your way back. And that's actually what I just did right now. I got lost for a second and I found my way back, right? So now, Jesus and Mary, they physically lose Jesus, and so they're seeking Jesus because he is lost. Now, in today's society, when we're lost, we look for all sorts of things, right? I mentioned to the kids about GPS, right? Just about all of us probably have either a GPS in your car or on your phone that you use. When you're physically lost, you can turn to your GPS, right? But when you're spiritually lost, when your faith is lost, when you don't know what to do with your life, when you are confused, when you are sad, depressed, lonely, even when you're happy, especially when you're happy, we need to turn to Jesus when we are lost. And that's what I think this whole story is about. Mary and Joseph are seeking Jesus because he is lost, and in turn, we can seek Jesus when we are lost. And that's a really great thing about this story. When your faith is lost, when your spirit's broken, turn to Jesus. When you're physically lost, turn to your GPS. Maybe also turn to Jesus, depending on how lost you get. But when you're lost, seek out Jesus, because he's the only one who can find your way back. You may think that you can find your way back on your own. When I was a teenager, I said this in the first service, I did some praying when I was a teenager, but it was mostly praying for things that I needed or things that other people needed. You know, please pray for this person, they are sick. Or like, please pray for me, I have a really hard test coming up. Because preparation is the key to a test, not praying, right? But we still want to pray, right? But when I was a kid, I didn't spend very much time praying for gratitude, praying for things that I was thankful for. And that's something that I think we all can do, is be a little more gracious when we are praying. Pray for the good things that are going on in your life. Of course, pray for the bad. Of course, pray for the bad, but spend some time praying for the good too, because it's in the good times that when we really find ourselves in the good times, that will help bring us back during the bad times when we are lost. Amen.